Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, today is a wonderful feast day and a very complex feast day for all of us. It's complex because it's a day of really of mixed together spirits. It's a day of great joy, but at the same time mixed with some sorrow as well. We can see it first externally. The thing that comes to us to see immediately is the things that we see externally of itself. We can see the joy that we have for this great feast day. We have the solemn high mass. We have the wonderful blessing of the candles, those great sacramentals that you have, the procession around the cloister and back into the church. Yet we also see the sorrowful externals attached to the feast day, as it is the end of Christmastide after today. The decorations are soon to come down, and we know that for us, Lent is truly just around the corner. But we don't just see it in the externals, we also see this in the internals of the spirit of the day as well. The spirit of the Feast of the Purification is one of joy because our Lord is present at the temple. Simeon is able to have his lifelong wish and that thing that was prophesied to him that he's looked forward to so long finally happen. He's able to look upon his own Redeemer, and he's now able to die in peace. And Our Lady is ceremonially allowed back into the temple. However, with that joy, there is that certain sorrow. The prophecy of Simeon to Mary, "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce." That sword was all the sorrows Our Lady would endure connected with our Lord's passion. Our Lady knew about these already before today. She knew about the scriptures and the prophecies foretold about that coming of the Messiah and all he endured. St. Jerome tells us that she was very well versed in the scriptures and certainly knew what they held foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. She knew the Savior of man whom she freely chose to be the bearer of at the Annunciation was foretold to suffer and to die. "But I am a worm and no man, the reproach of men and the outcast of the people," the psalmist says. "And likewise, they have pierced my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones." She knew this, but still she chose to be the mother of Christ. And she hasn't forgotten it yet, and she hasn't forgotten it now at the temple. But as Simeon prophesies that her soul shall be pierced with a sword, it all becomes very prominent to her. All these pieces, the scriptures, the prophecies, the understanding of bearing the Christ child as her own child, all of that comes together in that one instant, and she recognizes the great wealth of sorrow that she will endure in her lifetime. And it never leaves her ever again. She never lets this go, never lets it leave her mind. She continually suffers for souls from this moment forward all the way up until her assumption into heaven. It would have been easier and preferable and a lesser suffering for her to have borne all of the pains of the passion herself than to give up her only child, the Christ, the Lord, the God-man, Jesus. And as Mary offered her child in the temple this day, along with the other mothers offering their children, their offerings became very distinctly different in her eyes. She realized that those mothers offered their sons back to God, but they offered them back to God as a ritualistic ceremony, while she offered her son and her God back to God as a holocaust, as a complete offering which could only be given with total destruction of that gift, with the passion and death that was to come later on in his life. She had to voluntarily give our Lord back to the Father. This is the burden. This is the sword which pierces her soul, the suffering which endures till the end of her life. Saint Bernard says of her suffering that she died living, enduring a sorrow more cruel than death. But it's through that sacrifice, it's through all that suffering that she suffered internally, that is also her greatest triumph. It's for that reason that we call her the co-redemptrix of man. It's for that reason that she is the mediatrix of all graces, because she truly shares in that work of saving souls that our Lord did in his passion and in his death. And it's no more prominent to us than on this day, really, that she comes to that full recognition of the price that it'll cost, and the reward that comes along with it. St. Alphonsus tells us in the Glories of Mary that our Lord revealed to the Venerable Prudenziana Zagoni that a great grace is given on the Feast of the Purification every single year for a great sinner. And Mary is the one who is constantly able to give those graces as that mediatrix. And she is constantly working for souls, working for salvation and conversions each and every day. But today, there's a noticeably greater giving of grace. And it's because it's on this day that she is willing and understands that willingness to give everything that she has. So, how do we share in this work for our souls, for souls for Our Lady? How do we share in that duty to bring sinners over to reap the fruits of the sacrifice of the cross? How can we share in that growing of redeemed man by increasing the kingdom of God on earth? We can do so by the same means that Our Lady did. And that is, we also have to have that spirit of generosity that she had. She gave everything. She gave her own will. She gave her own comfort. She gave her own joyfulness in this life. She gave her only begotten Son and the only God everything back to the Father. And for us, we need to give back to him as well. We need to be able to suffer a little bit alongside of her and to sacrifice a little. With the close of Christmas, it's our time to start looking forward in this manner, looking forward to that next liturgical season, Septuagesima and Lent, which really is right there before us. The perfect time to sacrifice is coming up in an instant. And it's up to us to take this time now to start preparing ourselves for that sacrifice, to start preparing our own spirit to have that of generosity for souls. We do so in that same manner Our Lady did. Our Lady constantly prayed for people. We should find it in our sacrifice to take that extra time and put it aside and do a few extra prayers each day for the season of Lent. Our Lady, sorrow came from her share in the passion of Calvary. How do we share in that? Well, come not just to Sunday Mass, come whenever you can to extra masses throughout that holy time. Come and assist at that very same sacrifice on Calvary in the daily masses. Pray, perhaps, the Stations of the Cross every day. Our Lady offered to God what she held most dear in her life, that is, her her only begotten Son. We, in turn, follow that same spirit by detaching ourselves from the things of this world that we hold close to ourselves, these earthly goods, the giving up of certain foods or certain drinks or entertainments, anything that we can give back to him. The more generous we are, the more we give of our own substance, the more he rewards souls with those special graces. Christmas is ending. The joys of Christmas season go away. And it's with that mix of sorrow and joy of this day that we begin preparing our offerings, what to give back to God. And like the Blessed Virgin Mary, if we are generous in our offering, as she held there her only Son, then our Lord will be generous in giving back to us, not in taking away the sufferings he wants us to sacrifice. He wants it to be a little hard, but he'll be generous in the way of doing good for souls, of bringing people back to Christ, to bringing people ultimately to the fruits of that sacrifice made by our Lord and our Lady that faithful day on Calvary. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.